welcome to Life with the Girlfriends. Tonight, Christine Marie and Julie talk about The Mist, The Trump Effect, Elliot's review of Julie's schoolwork, and Julie's feeling a little under the weather. I'm Starman Norman, and school's out for summer.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Throwing it back to you.
What's what? She's like giving me the sign here.
Yeah, like say hello, mama.
Yeah. How are you, girlfriend? I know you've been under the weather.
I have, and I will discuss that in a few seconds. But we're your in-house certified law attraction coaches, life optimization coaches. My mom here is a psychotherapist.
You get your master's degree,
exactly.
And you're a teacher, and you're in instructional design. And yet, we still manage to have, it's kind of like PG fun here on this show. PG-13, PG-17.
I would go definitely PG-13.
Yeah.
And sometimes R. Well, but mostly, yeah. And this is, you know, here's the thing. This show is really about us having a good time.
Letting our hair down?
Yeah. It's one of the best hours of my week.
We don't shave our legs.
Not for this hour.
We don't even sometimes wear underpants.
Well, I usually do, but that's not your deal.
That's right.
That's not where you're from. And so here we are on this Sunday, and it's just, we're just having a good old time,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And so we're going to talk about today. I've had some incidences come up where you're being told one thing, and at the exact same time, you feel there's evidence for the exact opposite thing.
And
you just don't know what to believe anymore.
Right. And what happened to the truth, Julie?
Well, I remember back in the day.
The truthiness of things.
Yeah. And how did that come about? Who said
Stephen
truthiness?
Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, but why did he say it in regards
to who? I
don't know.
But it was the guy that's no longer, he retired. John. I can't think of his name.
I
want
to say John Edwards, but not him.
No,
John Stewart.
John Stewart, yeah. Right. When Stephen Colbert was just on his show, and he'd have a segment.
Right.
It was something about truthiness.
Right.
And at that time, I just was like, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand truthiness. But I was a dumb kid at that time.
For sure. I understand.
Now I understand.
Yeah.
The magnitude.
Of what that really means.
What that really means.
So we're going to talk about that today. Yeah. I'm going to talk about my illness a little bit.
Yeah. And your sickness. And
my sickness.
I'm going to tell a Normano story.
Great. That would be awesome.
We got Elliot's Corner. And I think we're not going to do a movie review, but we're going to do a Netflix or a...
Spike,
which is our new favorite show, our new favorite channel.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the Robert Rodriguez channel that we like?
I don't know. El Dorado, I think it's called.
That's the El Dorado channel?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. So but the reason I'm saying that is because it's right next to Spike, I think.
Yeah, right around there.
At least it's on our thing. Uh-huh. And then what are we going to do for our pillar talk?
Well, that's a good question. And I think we're going to talk about, I don't really know. We'll figure out when we get there.
Okay.
Because I'm debating about pillar talk.
Right.
Because I want to talk about law of attraction. And when you're dealing with an illness, how do you, when you go, how did I bring this into my life?
Right.
Because I believe in my heart, I'm responsible for all the actions, results, and I believe I'm responsible for all the feelings I feel, the thoughts I have, the actions I do, and the results I get.
Right.
Time is a different story. I'm in God's hands in a lot of ways.
And then sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, which I say that every show.
Do you really?
And
somewhere?
People always laugh.
And I may not be hearing it because you say it so much.
It goes in one ear and out the other, girlfriend.
So if you go a cigar is just a cigar, what can we change that to the Hindenburg is just a Hindenburg? that's kind of a phallic,
Okay, got it.
Or the tubular UFO is just a tubular UFO, or the battleship is just a battleship.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Sometimes the alien grays are just the alien grays.
They're just the alien grays, that's just what they are. I was trying to think. I was someplace, and I did use that. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Yeah, and everybody just looked at you like, what?
What? Yeah, because I think under the age of 30, I don't know if they really study.
They didn't get Freud.
Yeah.
Or even Jung.
Yeah, I know.
So I see Jung would say, no, sometimes a cigar is never just a cigar.
Right.
Jung would say that. Freud would say,
yeah,
sometimes a cigar is... I'm, this is my best Jewish... German Jew, is that Freud?
Yeah,
German Jew. Sometimes a A cigar is just a cigar.
I think Einstein was German and Jewish, wasn't he?
Okay,
so you can try and talk like Einstein.
That was my Einstein.
That was your Einstein and Young.
At the same time. Yeah.
Exactly. That's good. I did an excellent job, girlfriend.
Yeah, all wrapped into one.
So the reason why I was wondering if I was going to bring it in, because I want to talk about what's been going on. And maybe I'll just share my illness at the end of the show.
Oh, no.
I'll bring it right into now.
You got to go with it
right now.
And then
I'll talk about law of attraction a little later. Maybe.
Yes.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of what we got. Big show here today. But if you're wondering.
A really big shoe.
Yeah. Mom's like, oh, should we even have a show tonight? You're not feeling good. We can have them, you know, do this. And I'm like, it's Jill's the best like, hour of my day, week.
That's right. And Jill just says, Mama, the show must go on.
The show must go on, everyone.
Like she goes, Mama, there's no business like show business. Like, and she's giving me jazz hands, even though they got goosebumps and chills on them.
Yeah. So can I first talk about the lies I've been experiencing or 100%. The duality of everything?
Yeah.
And I know there's duality in everything, no matter what. But sometimes that duality looks like a lie. So I was getting, we had got the McDonald's app. And you get a coffee, I get an iced tea.
Yes.
And because if you get five coffees, you get another coffee for free.
You get a free coffee.
And you know what? That makes that coffee
that
like
makes
90
it
cents.
So nice.
Yeah, 80 cents.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's our favorite app to get free coffee.
And sometimes if you get a large iced tea with a purchase. So literally I could buy a large coffee, get an iced tea free. And then
you got to go around again.
Yeah.
Or do you?
No.
You can do it all in one.
They'll
in
give
one?
You the coffee.
Because
no
it's
matter what.
Because it's different.
Yeah. So anyway, I get there and Elliot's being good, which is great. We've been training him. Mom's been like really reading up on everything and getting to be like a professional trainer. I'm going to start calling you that soon.
Yes. Christine Peters, psychic, intuitive dog trainer.
I think we're going to call you dog consultant or dog coach.
the dog coach. The dog consultant.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like the dog whisperer?
Yeah, exactly. Well, because I know how you like to work with C's, like the same kind of sounds.
Yes.
So, you know.
See you next Tuesday, girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to call it canine something. I was like, how is dog and coach the same letter?
Yeah, compassionate canine.
We'll figure it out. So, but anyway, we're going through McDonald's. Isn't it funny, though? I felt like I had justified going through McDonald's.
Yes.
That's what I do. I'm like,
Girlfriend, you went through McDonald's.
I dare you.
She's one of those.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I don't really like about going through McDonald's.
It's the only thing we have in our town.
Yeah. Is that sometimes I go, they should have a recycling bin for just their cups.
Yeah.
So that people they can throw their cups in, they can recycle in some other bin. I mean, they do that.
But
I
you
know.
The truth is, I use my McDonald's coffee cups until they totally are recyclable.
Yeah,
because
they
just leak and there's just all they are is this thin paper.
Right.
I'm a good girl.
Well, and not just that.
I'm a good girl. I am.
Yeah, you're like the person who who has the poster in the back of their car, bumper sticker in the back of their car. Who rescued who?
That's right.
That's
right.
Who you are.
That's right.
Even though that's a total lie.
Yeah.
But, well, it's funny because we got school. So, okay, real quick, back to McDonald's.
Okay.
We're in the drive-thru and we go to the first one, we give her our money. And she's, 18, 17 years old.
Right.
Cute as a button.
Yeah.
Makeup done, got a headband on with a big flower. No, a big bow, and it's a colorful bow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, and she's like, hey, everyone, how you doing? Or, real friendly, mm-hmm. whatever their spiel is.
And the thing is, she has, it's a huge bow.
Yeah,
it's not just a bow.
It's a deliberate, like, and against her dark hair and her dark band.
Right.
It's just this boo.
It's this big, huge bow.
Yes. And she's got makeup on. She looks festive, you know. And I said, you look so happy. And she goes, I am happy. I try to be happy every day. And at that exact moment, one of her cohorts or coworkers walked behind her.
Yeah.
And shook her head no.
No.
And she was like, she looked at me and go, no.
And she didn't even see it?
No.
Oh, my God. That's
and
so
I go,
great.
And in my mind, I'm like, I got to share this.
Oh, my God.
I got to share this.
That is hysterical.
I know.
You know what? I totally missed that.
Yeah, well, I know
oh
you did.
Oh, my
so I'm
gosh.
Like, I didn't want to share that with you.
And you said, I will tell this to you on the show.
Yeah, I want to hear your organic.
Oh, my God. That is hysterical.
Oh, exactly. And so.
Well, I like it, too, like in the you know, in this, there's a, our McDonald's, for whatever reason, you can see right in their window.
Yeah, that's what they have, the employee goals.
And the employee goals. And one of them says, this week it says, do not spend work time checking out your schedule.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And I'm thinking, I guess that's like, water cooler talk, right?
Yeah. I have no idea. But it's like, that's harsh. I got to check my work schedule?
Yeah.
Off schedule?
Yeah. And you're like, how much time could it possibly be to check your schedule?
Yeah. I did say, like, what had to have happened
to that
became a note?
Yeah, because we had never seen that note before.
No. Usually the note is like, you know, 200 days till Christmas, yeah, or, you know, something and like that.
90, 199, yeah, you know, countdown.
Right.
And sometimes it's like, you know, we work as a team, yeah, you know, be kind to our customers, you know.
Yeah, just, be kind, just, rewind.
Yeah, but that one, do not look.
Yeah, like, do not look at your schedule during your scheduled work hours.
I think one was one time, and you could tell there was just something going on. It's like, you know, you got, like, we can't have all of you get off for prom.
Oh, that's right. Not everyone is going to prom.
Right. Not everyone is getting off for prom. And I'm like, oh, that's
harsh.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Those kids' grandma should come in
and take
over the place during prom.
You know what? If they can't.
Grandmas could run it.
Just close down a couple hours early.
Yeah. Or like you go, can I have some extra salt and pepper with that? No.
Yeah.
Salt is bad for you.
Yeah, you don't need that ketchup.
Can you imagine if the grandmas were like running it? What are you doing with that burger? Do you realize if I hung this on my wall in a year, it would still look the same?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
You do not need that chocolate shake.
Yeah, exactly. That's what grandparents would say.
And then the guys that own our McDonald's wear a lot of gold.
Yeah, they do.
The girls and the guys, the whole family issue.
Yeah.
But they just like, they're like gold. They're like Trump gold.
Yeah. They love the gold.
They love it.
I don't understand why.
I don't know either.
But that's pretty cool. And so I was just thinking about this week because it does feel like you'd hear something. And I'll throw another thing out. You've been into broadening your horizons about what you're watching, not for a lot long, but just like for an hour here.
Right.
And so you've been watching Fox, MSNBC, and CNN.
That's right.
And then
they're equal opportunity destroyers.
Yes. Exactly.
They destroy your peace of mind.
Exactly. I think I asked you. I said, could you give us a reprieve for a week or so?
You begged me.
I begged you. You begged me. I really can't even watch this during lunch.
You walked in and you said, I cannot take this one more minute.
Yeah.
Turn it off.
Exactly. And so.
Okay, no props.
So 2 weeks ago, there was that shooting in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And as far as I know, I think he's doing stable.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. What happened was you were going through channels and you like to watch Jim Baker if only to go, what the hell is going on?
Right.
And there was this one minister on Jim Baker show.
Right.
And you may know Jim Baker because like Joe Rogan will reference it. A lot of people reference this show because it's gone so much off the rails.
It's so off the rails.
Because what he does is he sells prepper food.
He's a prepper.
25, yeah, he can get solar generators.
Yeah.
But I don't know
but
why.
But you can get food that'll last 25 years
right.
for under 50 cents a serving.
Yeah.
And granted, it's rice, it's beans.
Yeah.
You know, it's oatmeal. Mashed potatoes. But they sell it, you know, by buckets.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea that, you know, UPS has got to deliver like 100 buckets to some house is funny to me. I don't know. But the idea is like, you know, God's coming, you know, or whatever is it got to, you know, the apocalypse is coming. And at the same time, this food lasts for 25 years.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Jim, what is it? 25 years?
Oh, my gosh.
Or immediately.
I never even thought about it that way.
You never have?
No.
Oh.
Hey, this is only for 25 years.
Yeah.
But Christ is coming in the next couple of years. Yeah. We're in end times. Well, then I only need food that's going to last 5 years.
Let's get a little better quality
then. Yeah. It only lasts 5 years, not 25 years. That's a really good point.
Thank you, Julie.
And it's a really good point then because if they're giving you food for 20, see, here's the lie.
That's the lie.
You're the duality of it all.
That's right.
And then there's another preacher on talking about his, here's the thing about Jim Baker too. Before Obama was president, he, you know, Basically, to him, Obama was the Antichrist.
Right.
We're in end times, yada, yada, yada. And we must vote Trump in. We must vote Trump in. And I do know that Trump was, you know, trying to win a deal with the Christian, the evangelical.
Right.
Yeah. And I just thought, this is wild. This is wild. And to the point where they would come up with stories to justify his behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's lots of stories in the Bible where a good king is a horrible man. Just lots of stories. And so God can show you. And I'm like, well, if God can do this in this, why can't God give me a good guy and be a good king? Right. Wait, really? Wait, why not?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just...
There was a lot of justification going around.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And so, when Trump became president, the first thing that happened was he said, no one's buying food now because they think, you know, they're not going to have an apocalypse.
That's right.
Because we don't know that, people.
Right.
And so now he keeps up.
He's up in the ante.
We are, you know, since Trump is, he's going to bring the apocalypse revelations to us. And this is, we're in end times.
Right.
And it's like, you just want to say, dude.
And if we're not in the end times, then the North Koreans are going to do an EMP on us.
Yeah.
An electromagnetic pulse, which is,
right.
are an earthquake's going to destroy all of our roads into town to get the foods.
Right.
Or if some kind of a thing goes off, the water pipes will be cracked and, you know,
right.
So it's more than just,
and
the
so
end times.
It's very interesting. Because what you feel like is he hired another marketer to say, how do I turn this around? Because I need to continue to sell food.
Yes.
And so he's gone total negative.
Totally.
Like, but Trump's all good.
Yeah. Trump is all good.
And he keeps saying that, you know, bad is good, good is bad.
Right.
And that's when
and news that from regular things is fake.
Yes.
Things from like InfoWars and
Fox.
TMZ and Fox.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Now, here's the thing I want to say about this is that once in a while, you'll go, oh, there's a grain of truth in that.
I do say that.
And then other times you're going, that is a bold-faced lie.
That's exactly right.
And how can
you
say just a bold-faced lie? And that one preacher,
Perry Stone.
Said, and he said, and you told me this, and I said,
yes.
Well, that's just a lie.
100% lie.
He goes, when they were that shooting in Washington, D.C.,
right.
And they were shooting the Republicans.
Right.
During
the
practice.
Baseball. Yeah.
Which, note to self, that guy, I can't remember his name, was from your hometown when you grew up.
Yeah, Belleville,
Illinois. And none of us said, oh, that makes sense.
It makes all of us said
we
that.
We go, oh, I understand that.
Yeah,
that town is evil.
Yeah. We all got that one.
Yeah. Everybody got a little
I got out there out of there as fast as I could.
Exactly.
in any means.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, and he said during that shooting, the only news organization that talked about it was Fox News. No other, CNN didn't mention it. MSNBC didn't mention it.
I threw something.
Yeah,
at that moment,
you are specifically lying.
That is a lie.
Yeah, a lie.
And because what did I say? I go.
Happened, and after you found out that everybody was alive, except for the shooter,
right?
You go. You couldn't get away from it.
No. It was like every single
channel. It was on MSNBC.
Right.
It was on Fox.
Right.
Is Fox and Fox and Friends a different, or is it the same channel?
Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fox News and Fox and Friends News
yes.
is all the
yeah.
same channel.
Yeah, it's all there.
And
different.
So you go, well, that's just a bold-faced lie.
Yeah.
And if you would turn your channel, you would have heard it.
Yeah. All you had to do is go to, it was not just... It was really a lie because it wasn't just like, oh, they covered it for 5 minutes.
No, they covered it for
hours. All day long, and then the next day, you know.
They covered the actual game and how wonderful
and
it was. Yes,
and that game was never, ever covered.
Yeah.
For 25 years, they've been doing that game, and it was never televised.
And so so that was, and then so you see, one of President Trump's, I don't know who he is, but he was talking about how President Trump brought back 50,000 jobs in coal already.
Oh, right.
And then,
yes.
And now here's a, you know, and then, but the thing is, the industry as a whole only has
51,000.
Yeah, 51,000 or 51 and 75,000. I've heard two different.
Right. As the whole industry.
The whole industry.
And this, and his like mouthpiece
is
saying that and since Trump has been elected, there's been 50,000 coal jobs added.
It's been doubled. And it's not true. It's not true.
That's crazy.
I think they said 1,300.
What?
New coal jobs, possibly.
Oh, possibly. But he didn't say that. The mouthpiece didn't.
No, he said 50,000.
Yeah. And also Trump said that we just opened a brand new mine in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And that it was true. It did officially open.
Right.
But the person that got it, that takes this long for anything in the government to do this, was Obama.
Right.
He started it in 2015 to get this coal mine open in Pennsylvania. But it was interesting they just to hear, well, yeah, that's the truth.
But it opened under my watch.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like, and I don't really, I just get tired of having half-truths.
Right.
But like, with, I'll go back, because everybody brings up Reagan all the time, how great he is.
Right.
I truly see the good and bad in every president we have.
Right.
I'm not a blind believer in anybody.
No.
Because they're all human.
Right.
And
that's how we should be as a democracy.
Right. But I, you know, going back into history now, looking at the Iran-Contra, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, not that one. They took the...
hostages?
The hostages.
Yeah.
You know, and it was Iran, but was it called the Iran-Contra? I don't think it was. But that when the Iranian, they had hostages, Iran did, and our hostages, and they got released the day.
Yes. The day Reagan came into office.
Basically, right around there.
And everybody was assumed that.
That was his job doing.
Yes.
Now you realize he didn't do much to it except keep those guys there for a couple more days.
Yeah.
Because he wanted the
credit
for it.
Keep him there, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because when you heard all the back noise going on behind the scenes, you're like, you know, what Carter was, he wasn't a look at me kind of guy.
He wasn't a showman.
Hey, no. Hey, give me props. Yeah. And I remember Carter was, you know, just in the last couple of years, I heard him talk about this. And he said, what was his wife's name?
Carter, Jimmy, and Roseanne? Rosalind,
I think that's it, Rosalind.
Rosalind Carter.
He goes, oh, my wife, she was so mad when we were leaving the White House. And she just wanted to scream to the world, like, you know, what's going on, you know?
you don't understand.
And I remember Barack Obama was talking about how his wife, Michelle, was so upset about the birth certificate. And he's just like, let it go. We're you know, we got a job to do, you know, and so forth. And so you realize that forever people always spin something.
Yeah.
And I think it is our responsibility to look at everything and going, what really is the truth?
Yeah.
What's the marketing going on?
Right.
And I do not want to, if I'm going to give my faith to anything, it's going to be my God. And I am not going to give that power to anybody else.
Right.
And I'm certainly not going to give it to a political party.
No.
And I think in some ways we need to almost erase the political party.
Right.
But this...
Wouldn't it be nice if somebody could go beyond their party and care about the country?
As a whole.
Right.
Like, we're all part of the country.
Yeah.
And we were
Yeah,
we listened to Sebastian Younger on Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And he actually said there's a study out that suggests 50% of your affiliation to a political party or belief system is actually biological.
Biological, genetic.
Yeah, and Joe's like, well, how do you know
this?
How's
that possible?
And like, they said,
like, wait, what?
They've done a study with
twins,
fraternal,
right?
Fraternal and maternal. So fraternal are not...
They don't have the same DNA.
Right, but maternal do. Yeah. And if you are a maternal twin and separate at birth,
right,
you know, you literally have like a huge chance of having the same political party. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, if you're fraternal twins and separate at birth, you know, there's a less frequency. He didn't give the percentage, so I can't tell you. I'm assuming that if I go search this out, it wouldn't be like 1% difference.
No. Because
that's not a big enough difference to make anything, you know. I'm hoping it's a significant difference.
Right.
And he was suggesting that literally half your belief is from biology. I thought, well, that's interesting, because then what you realize is that we need it all. We need it all to have a functioning government.
Yes. He also said, this was on the Sebastian Younger interview, he said that, like, I don't know how I'm going to put this, but he said, like, if Democrats were just always in office, you wouldn't have safe boundaries or,
right.
like, safe
right.
because they're too, you know, easygoing right. and passive. So someone could take over your country,
right.
but the people would be cared for. If there was just Republicans in all the time, you'd have safer borders, but your people would, it would be, you know, the uncharitable towards
right.
your people.
That right.
would be
so you do
inhumane.
Need all.
So you need the, you need both, you
yeah.
know? And every once in a while, I'll hear, like, Angus King is one of the talking heads, and he's like, he wasn't, I think he ran as an independent, but when you hear them talk, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you don't, I mean, some of these people that just toe the party line is just, it's almost embarrassing.
Well, yeah.
And you do, you go, you just immediately turn them off.
Right. Well, I'm like, so what I'm hearing now is this theme about how the press is so mean to President Trump.
Yes.
And that the liberals, and in some realms,
yes.
they call it...
The evil ones.
The evil ones.
Yeah.
Are so... They just want to, they want President Trump dead. I'm like, you know, first off, that's just wrong. But I remember in the beginning when Barack Obama was president, I would see billboards
yeah.
with former President Bush going, miss me yet?
How do you like me now?
How do you like me now?
How do you like me
you
now?
Know? I mean, just cruel.
Yeah.
And I think there are definitely stars talking, you know, like, who is that one guy?
Ted Nugent?
Yeah. I think he was aggressive
yes.
in his speech
yeah.
about towards...
Right.
And you could definitely find a lot of unfavoring language.
100%.
Towards,
and pictures.
And you know what? He didn't say a dang thing about it.
No.
He didn't give any attention.
No.
So,
which is what you're supposed to do. You don't give it attention.
Right. And so I guess we needed to shake things up because we had too much civility for a long time.
Right. And it was just too damn peaceful.
It was too,
it's,
you know,
too nice.
And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying there weren't mistakes, but I also know that with progress comes entropy and change.
Right.
All the time.
Right.
You know,
I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I heard Ivanka, they were interviewing her on Fox.
Right. Yeah.
And they were saying, well, you know, how's it go? She goes, I can't do her. I'm sure I'll sound like a Jewish German. I'll do the yeah. same accent.
Yeah.
I just wasn't prepared for the horribleness of how people would treat him, you know,
yeah.
the meanness.
Meanness.
There was a word she used, I think it started with a V, but I can't think of the name of it right now.
Visceral or...
I don't know, it was some V
vicious.
Word. Viciousness, maybe. Yeah,
okay.
Was it. And, I like it, like my jaw dropped, you know, and
yeah.
I'm like, you were not used to, I mean, your dad makes fun of the disabled, he calls
yes.
people... You know, crooked and liars.
And he says, "Hey, if you go beat that kid, hit that guy in the face, I'll give you money.
I'll pay for your
yeah.
legal fees." Or,
yeah.
or like, you know, I could walk down the street in New York and shoot someone, and I'd still be popular. I'm like, you were not used to
that kind of language. I mean, come on,
and that just like that totally freaked me out. Because
yeah.
are we? Then I think there's a lot of people that are not hearing anything but that,
and you
then
need
that would
to
be like,
out.
Yeah, and they would be like just shaking their heads. Oh, I'm sure, Ivanka.
Yeah,
I'm sure. But you know, I think the worst thing that's happening in the country is the Trump 20.
The Trump 20. Oh, okay.
You know
what's
that is?
No, I don't.
Yep, it's like people are gaining weight. They're gaining extra 20 pounds because of the Trump 20, the Trump effect.
Oh, how funny is
and,
that?
And Bill Maher said even Trump's gaining the extra
yeah.
20 pounds.
Well,
people yeah. are like, I just got to eat. I don't know what else to do.
I don't know what to do.
I don't know
eat.
What to do.
Yeah, the booze ain't working anymore.
Trump said Trump's our president.
Yeah.
I need me some, I don't know what.
Trump's president. We've got Dennis Rodman in it's North Korea brokering deals. Yeah. I mean, Bill Cosby, you know,
Bill Cosby
was found not guilty at the moment of
that yin and yang symbol
yeah.
where there's a little white in every black and then
yeah.
there's a little black in every white.
White. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we're.
I guess that's where how the truth is a little bit right
now. I
guess.
Now. And see, I can live with that. If I can't live with the blatant lies.
No.
I can't live with, like, you're telling me something that I know for a fact is not true.
Yeah, I actually experienced it with my own
yeah.
eyes.
And I go, and you're spinning it in such a way that if somebody didn't
yeah.
know,
yeah.
you would be telling them a way to manipulate. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what life's about, isn't it?
I had such great compassion watching that the Jim Baker show that, yeah. that night, because his audience is extremely kind of oldish.
Yes.
Okay? And very, very loyal.
Yes.
And so, and I'm sure that...
And they have their own tribe. And I'm sure they feel
that's their tribe,
it.
You yeah. bet. Like Sebastian Younger would say, that's their tribe. But they're just shaking their heads and applauding at everything. And, you know, and if you, you know, choose to spend your, you know, golden years in your tribe, you know, maybe you feel vindicated or, oh, it's so true or whatever. I'm okay for that. But I just felt... There was this part of me that just felt such great sadness yeah, for them.
Right.
I don't know why.
Well, when you base your life on end times, I always feel sad because it's like you want it to happen so that you were justified in believing what you believed. And you missed out on the glory of believing a certain way that helped your life. Yeah. I mean, I really do believe that you believe a certain way because... You're drawn to it because you go, well, I can. That's who I am.
Yeah, that's exactly who I am. Yeah, it makes sense. And,
in a sense.
Yeah.
Do you
remember when you were delivering for Menards and mm-hmm. You had a really old couple and his wife was ill, and you delivered a hot water heater.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you said something like, "Oh, you got no hot water?"
Yeah. Well, it was funny because this guy. I might tell a story years ago. It was a very touching story.
It was touching.
1999. So, and 2000 was supposed to happen, and like
Y2K.
Everything was going to break down.
Yeah, the end of the world was going
to
come.
No one plugged in the fact that numbers would turn over from 1999 to 2000, you know, in the computer scene.
So and now it just seems like ridiculous that we thought that.
But what happened was... Is that during this time people were buying out of crisis?
Jim Baker was selling.
Yeah, probably. Who knows? I know that we bought plastic wrap and duct tape.
Yeah.
You know, only because
I could do that.
Yeah, I could do that. That's not a big commitment. I'll go through duct tape. You know, might take 25 years.
I exactly. still got the plastic wrap, right?
But we, you know, my brother and I were delivering to him because he needed help. Bring these things in, and one was the first one, and it was newer subdivision, but he was the oldest house there, and it was so he must have never sold his property because I'm guessing because it was a small little maybe like 800 square foot ranch,
mm-hmm.
and if less maybe like 700 square foot ranch,
mm-hmm.
and every other house on this street was a cookie cutter, you know, $200 piece of property,
right?
In the suburbs. So I'm thinking that he just didn't sell when. This guy, whoever bought the property for development, came through. So we bring him first a cast iron stove. Mm-hmm. And this thing must have weighed 200 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
And so Greg and I had put it in the house.
Like a wood-burning stove, you
yes.
mean? Oh, okay.
A wood-burning, but it was cast iron. And the first thing he says is, he goes, don't worry. My wife's in the living room, kitchen kind of area. Just ignore her. I'm like, okay. She's in bed. And the first thing that happens is that she's yelling at me, saying, you're poisoning me with arsenic. You're poisoning me. And I'm like, get out of here. You're strangers. And he goes, just ignore her. I'm like, okay. But she's not like tied to her bed. Not tied literally, but she's pretty, she didn't get out of bed, but man, if she wanted to, she could have grabbed us.
Mm-hmm.
She was that kind of like mobile, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt such compassion for this man. He was probably in his late 70s, early 80s maybe. Mm-hmm. And taking care of his wife, mm-hmm. who knows for how long, but that was just what you did, right?
Right.
Nowadays, if divorces happen, you're like, yeah. you're sick. I don't know if I'm there for that.
Now there's an app for that. www.aplaceformom.com.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
A place for mom, as long as it's not with me.
Yeah, exactly. Or
maybe it's in the basement.
Place for my wife when she gets a little too crazy, you know, or my husband. You know, it's just kind of, you know. So, but I could tell he had to prep. And then the next thing I had to bring to him was a hot water heater. And he goes, well, I heard that I could just fill this hot water heater with water. So when Y2K happens, I'll at least have 100 gallons of water, something like that,
yeah.
in this hot water heater that I can use. I'm like, wow, okay, that's great. That's cool. And, of course, nothing happened. And I don't want him to think he was a fool because he spent the money he could spend
right.
to take care of his wife. Because he's
in
like,
the best way he thought right, possible.
What he goes, worst case scenario, I have a new hot water heater,
yeah.
and I have a wood stove that I can cook on.
Right.
And I'm sure he had food stacked someplace in that house,
right?
And so you just felt compassion, but you also... you know, realize, like, how do you balance it?
Right.
Because you want to, whatever you do, you want to have the best life possible.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
just... Yeah, you didn't figure that you'd work your whole life, you raise your kids.
Yeah.
And then at the end of your days, you're...
You're fearful that somebody's putting arsenic in your food.
Yeah.
And you just go, oh, my gosh, you know. And
I remember this one documentary I saw. This couple had worked really hard their whole lives and just... And I think she was having, you know, some Alzheimer's or whatever. And he was like, I'm going to take care of her. She took care of me.
Right.
And all she ever wanted to do is eat dog food.
Oh, geez.
But she would eat it off the floor.
Oh, geez.
And so, you know, it was like she wanted to.
Yeah.
And so he let her do it. So you see every meal, he's like, she's eating the dog food on the floor, you know. And you're like,
what are you going to do?
Yeah. It's like.
Yeah.
What do you do?
And I, you know, lately I've been with people who've been saying stuff like, you know, you shouldn't have to change your life for someone, even a family member. And I'm like, well, that's kind of like the benefit. Now, I'm not saying that every...
Like you, there was a Wayne Dyer quote or was it, I don't know, but it was like, let life change you.
Right.
Let that piece of information.
You've heard that the other day, but it wasn't Wayne Dyer where you initially heard it from.
Dalai Lama?
No. It was
50 Cent?
C.K. Louis C.K.?
Yes. Oh, shit.
Joe Rogan was quoting Louis C.K. about having kids.
Right.
And Louis C.K. is, let the kids change you. Yeah. Don't change the kids. Let the kids change you.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you keep giving it to somebody who...
Oh, my God.
Louis C.K. might have heard that someplace else.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I know, and I was talking to a group of these people, my friends that were, like, totally new age.
And they're like, oh, my God.
And I think I quoted that. I think I said either the Dalai Lama.
Or Wayne Dyer.
No, there was another guy, too, Dr. I can't remember... And I said it, and everyone's like, come on.
Oh, my God. But you heard it this week, too. I can't remember where you heard it from.
Yeah. But it's like the new thing. Well, let it change you.
Yeah. Starting a new business or doing something, and something goes, one of your mentors said, you let the business change you.
Yeah, let it change you.
In a good way. Yeah. You know, let it change you in a good way. And you're like, oh.
We're so busy, like, trying to hold on and grasp that.
Well, we're so busy trying to hold on our past.
Yeah.
And who we had to be.
Right.
And if you want an upgrade, you had to be somebody else. So, hey, you ready for a little movie time?
Yes. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. And see how many Sherpa hats there are.
So, here we are.
You know what I mean.
At movie time. Movie talk.
And we have no movie today,
yes,
but...
we do. We're going to call it a movie reboot into a series.
Yes.
Called The Mist.
Yeah, a movie reboot. I love that.
Yeah. It's called The Mist.
And it's on Spike.
Yep, and it's an hour every...
There's only six episodes.
Oh, thank God. Really?
Yeah. It's only six episodes. Boom, done, next.
I love that.
Don't
I love
you?
A story told.
Yeah.
I can hang on for six episodes, but I want a complete story.
Now, you remembered the Stephen King movie, The Mist.
Yeah.
And I don't.
It was a real movie, yeah.
Yeah, it was a real movie.
It all happened in a grocery store.
Correct.
And
I remember that part.
What I loved about the movie... Because the ending had a... Spoiler alert. I mean, come on, people. If you haven't seen The Mist, you're not going to see it by now. But watch the show.
Right.
You could actually go back and probably rent it on someplace. Or
possibly.
You know, or see it on Netflix or something like that.
Wasn't Jamie Lee Curtis in it?
No.
No? Okay.
The Punisher. What's his name? James. Married to Patricia Arquette one time.
Oh, okay.
What's his name?
Yeah, I don't know.
Something James, I think.
Yeah.
He was in the original movie.
Okay.
And what I liked about the original movie, when we went right to the ending, it really was about human behavior when times got tough.
That's so true.
And at the end, spoiler alert, okay, but I don't care. At the end, they're in a car. Car runs out of gas. They hear the monsters all around them. And they decide they want to kill themselves. And the father, and they couldn't, but the father goes, and he's got a little son with him, and he's like, I don't want to be taken, Daddy. I don't want to be taken. I'll die. And so there's another woman in the car, too, and he kills them. I think that's who's in the car. And he can't kill himself. He just can't kill himself. And he's heartbroken and heartstrung. So he's like, I'll see this to the end, but I can't kill myself. And he's like, he could save somebody else, but he just couldn't do it.
Couldn't save himself.
Or with you know, and so he's just walking. And literally within 10 minutes, a a group of army men come by, and the fog, the mist lifts, and then he's realizing that, oh my God, if we could have stayed alive like 10 minutes longer.
Right.
And I remember that movie back in the day, black and white. You would have loved it. You probably saw it. Something about the ship capsized, and there's a group of people in a just like a, you know, inflatable boat.
Creature from the Black Lagoon?
No, not that one, Mother. No.
Okay.
There's no, not that one at all. And the captain's on board there, too. And they're losing people right and left because they don't have enough food. And as time goes by, they're like, we're going to, and like one, the, like they
start, have to eat each other?
No, they'll starve faster.
Oh.
And so some of the older people will just go, we'll just go.
Yeah.
And then literally, by the time this happens, though, when they decide, like, they made a time, like, but this time we're going to do it, a time came, people that had to die got off the boat and just drowned, like, basically. Mm-hmm. And then literally an hour and a half later, they got saved.
Oh, my God.
I know. And so I always go like this. Unless I think you should always kind of, like, play it all out.
You should.
You know, for the most part.
If you can.
But I hope they don't have those choices to make. I hope I'm never in a little buoy, you know, going, is somebody going to find me or are we going to have to eat each other, you know?
A little booty?
Buoy.
A buoy.
Yeah, something like that.
You mean like a dinghy.
Dinghy, that's it. A dinghy.
A buoy.
Yeah. So anyway.
But anyway, the mist was excellent. We've seen the two of the six.
Yes.
That's all that's been released.
So we're going to give it, so far, four Sherpa hats.
Four Sherpa hats. And I think, but I make Stephen King is coming back into our consciousness. They're recreating It. That was a good one. And I hear he's coming out with a new book as well.
No, not a new book. He's another movie. Black Tower, I think.
Oh, okay. Dark Tower.
Dark Tower, that's it.
Okay. So I find this interesting in the sense that all during the kind of like the Obama administration, that, you know, he was kind of like, well, where's Stephen King?
Yeah.
You don't really know. But now during Trump, all of a sudden, Stephen King is like in again.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's, I'm just making this as like a psychological comparison.
Well, it's funny though, because
we need to be scared like this
right now
to hold the fear factor, you know?
Exactly.
That's the Trump effect. That's the Trump 20. It's
right.
The Trump.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting.
Yeah, thank
very
you.
Interesting. You ready for a little Elliot's Corner?
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me.
Welcome to Elliot's Corner. So here we are at Elliot's Corner. And I thought to myself, I have a couple stories for Elliot.
Yeah, you do.
So here's my one story. You guys know that sometimes Elliot goes to the bathroom in the house. Not all the time, but he has a little problem once in a while. And usually it's in the middle of the night. And so I'll make sure I put like some stuff out so he can go to the bathroom if he does, you know, because he'll go right before bed. And it's not all the time. We train him not to do this, but I'm just going to come clean. It does happen. It does happen. And I remember before going to bed last night, or trying to go to bed, I'm like, I better put some stuff out because the only thing that's on the floor where he tends to go to the bathroom is my schoolwork.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And oh, I wake up this morning, and then my schoolwork is yellow.
No, Jules.
Yes, all my, which is fine because I have it someplace else, too. But I pulled out all these articles. And I'm like, oh, right. And they're all.
No, Jules.
And I didn't know what that meant. And I'm just saying, sometimes urine on your schoolwork is just urine on your schoolwork. It means nothing,
but you
were too tired and too lazy to put some more stuff around because you assume that your dog was like, tonight he's going to be fine. Tonight he ain't going to do it.
He's not going to do it in the exact spot that I put my schoolwork.
Yep, and sure enough, he did it there.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, and I kind of knew, I felt it, you know. Sometimes you're going, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and you're going to regret this.
Yeah.
But,
well, there's got, like, there should be a sign in that, though, some kind of a sign that you should.
Yeah. Well, that, and I think that's what I learned this time, is like, and I've had this message come to me over and over again the last couple of weeks, is that there are probably things you should do before you go to bed, you know, that you know. They're not like, like start a new project, but they're like, there's probably three or four things that if you just completed.
Like kind of like winding down things, taking care of business things.
Exactly. And get them done.
Right.
You know, maybe like at like your pre-dinner activities.
Yeah.
You know, get these things done.
Right.
And that's what I learned from him.
Yes.
And that's all I'm going to say about
that's
that.
That's all right. Okay.
So you ready for a little pillar talk?
Pillow talk.
So you may notice that I have not been clear this show. I've been stumbling my words a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe you're looking at me funny. So
I think you've been doing fine.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have been dealing with a health issue last several days.
Yes.
Emergency room, and I've been questioning everything.
Right.
And just sometimes just going, a cigar is just a cigar. So just a cigar is just a cigar. You know, a cigar does not mean brain tumor. A cigar does not mean, mm-hmm. you know, MS or a host of all these other issues that could be happening to me. Mm-hmm. And then also thinking about law of attraction and stating it and having people around you react to you and trying to get a certain reaction mm-hmm. and not. And it's really difficult because probably 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, I went to the doctor because I was just having these heavy duty fevers,
yeah.
chills, body
aches. 102 and sick as a dog, wheezing,
yeah.
coughing.
Yeah, but not coughing. I wasn't coughing.
Okay.
You're like, you just don't hear it.
Right.
But I don't have the same, I didn't have the same cough that everybody else had.
No.
It was just a long lasting
right,
cough.
Right.
And so they gave me the cocktail that was going around at that time,
which was antibiotic, steroids, and an inhaler.
Right. And it helped for a little bit.
It did.
And then last week, about Tuesday,
yeah.
I started getting chills again. I'm like, and these chills didn't have much of fever. You know, I was having 102 before. I was now like 99. But just horrific body aches.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just in physical pain.
Yeah.
I mean,
so much that you couldn't move.
Yeah, I can't sleep. I mean yeah. just in pain.
You haven't slept in days.
Right. And that is no lie. I mean, yeah. I'm sleeping in 15-minute increments.
Right.
And I'm not productive. It's just crazy. And so I'm you know, so I chose to go to the emergency room because I couldn't get to my doctor. They didn't have any appointments available. And this is just how the system works.
Right.
You know, our local.
Yes.
This is their formula.
This is it. You can't.
Yeah. And so.
And you have to. If you can't fit in, you got to go to the emergency
yeah.
room. And they everybody knows that.
Right. And so did that. But the reason why I did it is that I checked my blood pressure. My blood pressure was extremely high.
Yeah. Which is not you.
No. And so I'm like, okay, I better go. And my vision was wacky. So I was there for about 5 hours. And
maybe more. I don't know.
And he says, you know, you got some elevation on some parts of your blood work, but nothing too out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. He goes, well, I go about my eye vision. He goes, this is what I want you to do. I need you to go to the eye clinic, you know, the eye doctor right away tomorrow. And I need you to see your primary, you know, call them saying the emergency room doctor wants you to meet him by Monday at the latest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. And so I went to I called the eye doctor up the next day, and they told me to come right away.
Come right away, immediately.
So I tell them they're like 20 minutes, and ended up being like 35, 40. And they were like, oh, we didn't know what happened to you. And I said, I'm so sorry. I don't know how come I thought I could be there in 25 minutes. It takes me 15 minutes to get out of the house, and then I'm 15 minutes away from town, you know, and so forth. So I go, I don't know why I said that. And they're like, oh, okay. I go, I apologize. And they're like, no problem. But I did find out that one of my optic nerves is swollen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the test, and he's like, we got to, you know, I've seen your lab results and I need more information. So I had to go back in for more information, get more lab work done. Mm-hmm. But because my primary couldn't see me
till October,
I had to get a new primary, and they helped me with that. Mm-hmm. So I meet with a new primary on Monday, and he's supposed to give me a write-up for
CAT scan.
More body of test.
Right.
And so it's just like, it's just starting.
Yeah.
You know, and the one eye doctor said, you know, don't come. She was very nice. And she said, don't come to the emergency room unless your symptoms get worse. I go, well, what would you consider worse? She goes, a significant change in your vision from where you're at now. I'm like, okay. And I go, the other doctor said, not until I have 101 degree temperature. So I can work with both those things or a new symptom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, and I don't think I'm anywhere near that, especially since tomorrow I'm going to go my primary,
mm-hmm.
and which I'm not that happy about because my old primary was female,
mm-hmm.
but I have to be in God. This is when I'm like in God's flow.
Yeah.
Just in God's hands. And I do my best. I do my best. And so, but what's happening is just I'm not getting any relief. I'm not getting any relief from the pain. And I question like, okay, I'm using now how, okay, I'm definitely sick. But how do I use what I know to help my body heal on the spiritual side?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've studied the healers of Christianity, you know, and how you take your healing and how you don't speak what you don't want.
And also Alberto Velloto, who studies like the ancient healings, you know, working with the light body.
Oh, 100%. And that's hard to do when you just like want everybody to leave you alone. You're like, especially your light body, you know. And then the other side, you know, with law of attraction, like, I don't know what I did to call this into being. And that's when we used to talk about this all the time, law of attraction guilt.
Right.
And what you realize, though, if you, when you interview people and you, is there anybody outside our house?
Dad.
Okay. I'm seeing reflections.
Yeah, he's coming. Walked Elliot.
And I, the course of my life in interviewing people and hearing people being interviewed, what you realize is that their biggest victory always comes right after their biggest failure.
Yes.
And so the yin and yang, right?
Yeah.
And so to deny that actually occurs.
Right.
And so, and I don't know, Abraham Hicks talked about it as a rocket of desire. And for every, any bad thing that happens, a matching rocket of desire occurs. And so I'm wondering if this is my rocket of desire for the matching health of this.
Right.
And certainly now that I'm in this, I'm bringing my mom to tears a little bit because I just said something that goes, yeah, that's right, you know. But here's the thing, you know, it's like I can't deny that I have a cousin who has ALS. I can't deny it. I know people who, you know, are just dealing with these chronic issues that really all you can do is believe that you will be healed and then that you are healed, but then deal with your life and make it as best as possible. You know, and see, here's the thing. With me and all my symptoms, you know, the doctor once said, well, here's where we're at this moment. We don't know what's wrong with you. When I first came into the doctor's office 2.5 weeks ago, I had a bug bite, and luckily I took a picture of it. Here's a little quick side story. We only got about 3 minutes left of the show, but I had my father take a picture of my bug bite the first time. Here's where my bug bite was located, right at the crack of your knee and thigh, you know, your calf and thigh, right through the knee. And so he got real close up into that bug bite. And it was all inflamed, and you couldn't see any white part anywhere, but you saw the crease, and it looked so nasty and and sexual. Like, yeah, this literally looks like a butthole.
It did.
This looks like really, literally a butthole. I go, I cannot show anybody this. And so I tend to get further away.
Right.
And he did, thank God, because I wouldn't have been able to show it.
Because the doctor goes, do you have any pictures of the bug bite?
And I go, yeah, I do, by the way, yeah. Sir, the doctor. And I'm like, thank God, did it in our picture. And he looked at it and goes, oh, that looks pretty bad.
Yeah, it was.
And
I go, yeah.
And so, you know, so we're dealing with the Lyme test and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he goes, so here are your options right now. We don't know what you have, and it could be viral.
Could be bacterial.
And the truth is, viral just could take four to five, 6 weeks to get out of your system, which I can't imagine.
Feeling like this. Yeah.
Now, I can't imagine having these body aches for that long.
Yeah.
You know. And then he goes, it could be, you know, and it could be Lyme disease, and it could be rheumatoidal, if that's a word, or rheumatoid, and it could be MS, you know, and you're like, oh my God, it could be a lot of things. And so I'm just living here, except that I know everybody who cares about me wants to know more. And then I have been getting snootier or snippier, which is like, I don't know anything more. I don't know. I know that they're not concerned enough to admit me, because I can be uncomfortable in my home as much as I can be uncomfortable in an emergency room or a hospital room.
Right.
And so that's kind of where I'm at. And, yeah. You know, it's been funny to see even like how Doug deals with it, you know, and how, you know, my aunt calls me out of the clear blue saying, I just had a feeling I should call you. You know, like, oh, what does that mean? You know, you only call me my birthday, you know, and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's just, it's interesting, but I'm really, I remember interviewing someone, I can't remember her name now, but she might have had MS, but she was living her life in a wheelchair, and that wasn't her before. I mean, like, she was very active. Now she's in a wheelchair and kind of figuring it out on her own. And I said, I know you believe that you can be healed, that your thoughts can change your reality. And she's also a very spiritual person. And I go, well, how do you negotiate this in your life when I know this is not what you believe? And she goes, I believe I'm healed on my spiritual side, and that eventually it will show up on my physical side. And that's the only way I can get through the day. And I go, yeah, that's right. I remember getting, and I think to deny that this, that that people who are truly spiritual don't have issues of health or anything else is really discredits what they're doing at the moment.
Right.
And maybe discredits their whole total journey that their matching healing is just around the corner. We don't know.
Yes.
And time's not our deal, you know. So I just don't know. And it's kind of funny because, like,
to be determined.
Yeah. Like, Doug will call me, like, how you doing? How you feeling? What's going on? Do you know anything yet? I'm like, it's Sunday. I know nothing yet. I go, I literally, they just said, I have to wait until Monday. They're not overly concerned, and they can't do anything about it anyway. So, except tell me if there's new symptoms, come back, you know, and all that stuff. So, don't, you know, how am I doing? I'm doing crappy. But the truth is, I don't want to keep saying I'm doing crappy.
No.
When reality, though, I'm barely sleeping. I can barely stay in one position for more than 5 minutes. And I'm in pain 24/7. And I don't like feeling that way. And it's wearing me down.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So.
And you're right that the people who love you.
Yeah.
They feel struggle helpless. And suffer. And,
yeah.
And, you know, we feel helpless.
And that's the sad part. And because I want to be left alone and treated somewhat normal, even though I'm not feeling well. And like with Doug, he wants to be more bothersome and active when that's not what I want. And so I feel compelled to give him what he wants sometimes when the truth is, or people who love me, everybody who to give them what they want, when the truth is I just want to be fucking left alone.
Right.
You know? And because there are, like last night, several times, we have to get the end of the show anyway, on a high note. But like there are times in the middle of the night I'm just moaning mm-hmm. and crying because I'm just like,
right,
I'm tired and I can't get sleep or relief. And from the girls who wrote the book, Sleep Away at the Top of the Morning, we know how vital sleep is for recovery, you know. And then, but then I do know that my compassion has been extremely broadened during this process.
Yes.
And I can see why people would use drugs to go to sleep.
Right.
Because at some point you're like, I'm in for a long night and right. I'm not going to be productive.
Right.
This is not my time when I write.
And all I, if I'm to get better, I need to rest.
Yeah, you need to rest. So on a happy note, guys, do that.
The show was good, but you are great.
Oh, thanks, girlfriend. It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.